For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Thanks, Samantha. Praise the Lord. So tonight we're listening to What is the Royal Priesthood? So let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you today. We thank you for your many blessings that you've given us. We thank you for the change that you've made in our hearts as we have responded to the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have our lives in your hands. As we commit ourselves to you, as we walk by faith, there are good things that come with that. And we commit ourselves afresh tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight we're looking at what is the royal priesthood. What is the royal priesthood? The Bible tells us about a change that has happened within us. It's also talks about the old covenant and the new covenant. Let's have a look at Hebrews 10, verses 1 to 12, first of all. Hebrews 10, verses 1 to 12. We see that in the old covenant, there was a particular shadow of the things to come, sacrifices that were continually made, and those sacrifices were sacrifices that involved the blood of animals, and that was to wash or to cover the sin for a time. But it was a shadow of what was to come, a type, what was to come, which was that the Lord Jesus Christ would be the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Starting from verse 1, it says in Hebrews 10, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers there unto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." That's talking about Jesus. Verse 6, "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ offered his body once as a sacrifice for all. So now there is no need for the old Levitical type priesthood where they would offer blood sacrifices for sins, because Jesus has dealt with the sin problem. He's dealt with that, and his blood, his eternal precious blood, now lasts forever. It doesn't just last for a year and then it has to be sacrificed again. No, that's not the case at all. His blood has been shed and lasts forever for all of those who have believed on him. And that's very important for us to understand, because it means that we have come into an everlasting relationship, the Bible says, we have everlasting life or eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's very, very important for us to see. Now, that doesn't mean that there are no priests nowadays. The Bible's very clear that there are priests, and we see that in Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6. But it's no longer just a particular priesthood that for a particular time would offer sacrifices. This is a different type of priesthood offering different type of sacrifices. And so we're looking at Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. And it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen." So here we see that the Lord Jesus Christ loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And it was the blood of God. And verse 6 says, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father." So we see there's a twofold thing there. We are now made to rule and reign with Christ, and we're now also priests unto God and his Father, unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God and his Father. So we see God's blood has washed us clean, most precious blood that could ever be. So we are now, and we should see ourselves, as kings and priests of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we are told that we should reign in life. If you look at Romans 5, verse 17, we see that. And this means that from the time we're born again onwards, we now have that establishment relationship with the Lord of being kings and priests, people that reign and people that serve in a priesthood which has various sacrifices, which we'll look at in a minute. And they're not blood sacrifices, obviously, but the Bible calls them spiritual sacrifices. In Romans 5 verse 17, it's one for us to remember, a good one to confess. It says, "For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." So it's a good thing to say, I reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. I reign in life by him. He's made me a king and a priest. He's made me a conqueror, more than a conqueror, an overcomer. He's made me a person that can reign in life. And that's a good thing. Glory to God. We have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We always triumph in Christ. The Bible talks about good things have come to us now. Have a look at 1 Peter 2, verses 5 to 10. And we'll go through a few scriptures here, because this talks about, once again, what we are now that we are born again, what we are in the eternal scheme of things in the kingdom of God. And of course, that doesn't start after we die and go to heaven. It starts right here and now in this life. And that's what we just read in Romans 5, verse 17. Now, in 1 Peter 2, verses 5 to 10, it's important for us to go through a few scriptures here, because it really elaborates about the Lord Jesus Christ, what he means to us and what he's made us. It says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So Jesus Christ is the high priest, and we are the priests now under him. We are, in fact, as the Bible says there, an holy priesthood. Holy means separate from sin. Holy means separated unto God. So we are a holy priesthood. We are a spiritual house. And notice, we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And we should know what those are. There are several spiritual sacrifices we are to offer up. One of those, of course, is to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, acceptable to Him. The sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, and also the sacrifice of giving. The Bible talks a lot about that as well. So they've got to be offered up, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. So we see that Jesus is precious to us, and we believe on him, and we shall not be confounded. Another good thing to say, I shall not be confounded in this life. I am on a firm foundation, the foundation of the chief cornerstone, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are lively stones. We're alive unto God. We are a spiritual house, holy priesthood. Glory to God. Verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. So the word is now a standard, not the word of man, but the word of God, which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past ye were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So we see that we were once people that were in darkness. Without Christ, you are in darkness. He is the light of the world. But it says here that we should now, as a royal priesthood, show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we should be showing forth his praises in our life on a continual basis. We are a royal priesthood, talking about that kingship that we have, and that we are a priesthood, and we should offer these praises that he's talking about. So we should be saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You have called me out of darkness. You've taken me out of darkness, and you've called me into your marvelous light. You have given me mercy. I've obtained mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ. Once I was a sinner, but now I've been made righteous by the gift of righteousness. Now I'm in right standing with God. Praise the Lord for that. And so we should be people that are showing this good thing in our life every day. Every day we are offering up these spiritual sacrifices. And so it is a sacrificial, not self-centered way of living, isn't it? Priests are not self-serving. We are in service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And we are to be people that are giving of ourselves on a constant basis. Not people of ingratitude, but people that see, as we saw before, the Lord Jesus Christ as precious, his blood is precious, and to live for him, not for ourselves. Glory to God. To live for him, not for ourselves. Also look at 1 Peter 4, verses 1 and 2. And it says here, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God." So we now are to be living to the will of God, doing the will of God. And one of those things that we're to be doing is reigning in life, being an example of people of victory, and to be those kings and priests in reality, and living our life as kings and priests. Let's look at some of those sacrifices. If you look at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, we mentioned this before. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Remember, we are a holy priesthood offering up spiritual sacrifices. That's what we read before. And so we should see ourselves as that royal priesthood, as that holy priesthood. We should see ourselves as people that are no longer sinners. We've obtained mercy. We're now people that are living for the Lord, as we saw before, living to do God's will, not our own, whilst we're in the flesh. Starting with verse 1 of Romans 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." This is one sacrifice we should be giving to God. "A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." That's part of your reasonable service, to be offering up your bodies as a living sacrifice. And you're saying to the Lord, "Lord, you can use me. You can use my hands to do what you want me to do. Use my eyes to see what you want me to see. My ears, my tongue, my legs, my arms, and so on. You can use me. I offer up my body as a living sacrifice." And verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So your bodies can't be used in conformity to the world. So you can't be using your tongue to blaspheme or to swear. You can't be using your bodies to go in, your legs, for example, to go into places that you know you shouldn't be going into, and so on. Or using your eyes to be looking at things you know you shouldn't be looking at. What you need is to have your mind renewed, transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you do that through the Word of God. Through the Word of God, that incorruptible Word coming into your heart. And we emphasize the Word of God a lot here, and it will always be emphasized, because it is absolutely crucial to having faith in God and living a holy life for Him. Praise the Lord. So we see that here is a very clear spiritual sacrifice that we can make to the Lord, and we should be doing that as our reasonable service. Also have a look at Philippians 4, verse 18. Philippians 4, we'll look at verse 18 here. And we see again the nature of spiritual sacrifices being offered to God. And remember, this is part of what we are to do as a royal priesthood on the earth today. And verse 18 says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." And also read verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So here we see in verse 18 that what is sent or given into God's work is, in God's eyes, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And I think once you start to understand that what you give to God is part of sacrifice, you sacrificing as priests of God, when you start to understand that, then you see the nature of the service you are giving. It's not just, oh yes, I'll put a couple of dollars into the offering, but you start to see, well, I am pleasing my Lord. It's not just a giving to man or to a church. It's giving to the Lord in a sacrificial way. And as it says there, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And that's what we want to do. We want to please the Lord. And there is a promise attached to that. Verse 19 talks about that. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Because anything that is of faith will be well-pleasing to God. Anything that is of value, because we're offering up these sacrifices of value to the Lord, will be well-pleasing to the Lord. And there is a connection of God meeting your needs. Your supply is your supply. Let's also look at Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16, and we'll see another type of spiritual sacrifice here. And when you approach the Lord as my aim, my desire, whilst I'm living in the flesh, is to do the will of God and to be pleasing to the Lord. And we've seen that these sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices, are pleasing to the Lord. That's what God wants. He wants us to be living a life that's pleasing to him. And so we see here in Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good, to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So we see the sacrifice of praise is talked about here, and we should be praising the Lord. That is, and notice that you've got to do it continually, because it says to God continually. So you don't say, well, you know, 4 years ago I praised the Lord and that was it. No, it's a continual thing. Prayer and praise and thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing and what you've done and what you're doing in your church and what you're doing in your people and with your people and what you're doing in the society and so on. Thank you, Lord, for that. Giving thanks to his name continually. And then it talks about that other area of sacrifice as well, which is to do good and to communicate, which is a giving and receiving. Forget not. Okay, it should be part of what we are. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So he's pleased with the sacrifice of giving. He's pleased with the sacrifice of praise. Obviously, he's pleased with us doing our reasonable service of offering our bodies as living sacrifices. Praise the Lord. So we must be people that are open to the Lord, continually open to the Lord as a royal priesthood. The royal priesthood, not living to ourselves or for ourselves, but living to serve. Living to serve the Lord. And we must be people that are continually seeking to do what God wants. And so we'll finish with Luke 9, verses 23 to 26. Luke 9, 23 to 26. This is Jesus speaking. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? And verse 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. So we are told to take up our cross and to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. This is so very important. And it is a sacrificial way of living, not a self-centered way of living. It must be God is first, his kingdom is first, his ways are first, and we praise him for that. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we praise you and thank you for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, that you have shown us your way. We thank you, Lord, that you are leading us in the way we should go. You are showing us how to be people that are pleasing in your sight, showing us how to be people that know what to do and understand how to be people that reign in life and that offer up spiritual sacrifices as a holy priesthood. And Lord, I pray for every person here that there be an abundance of grace and your mercy in every person's life, and that, Lord, we would be people that are pleasing to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.